Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Jay Stephens Podcast. This is episode number 66, dedicated to a man that hit a career-high 66 home runs during the 1998 Major League Baseball season, Mr. Sammy Sosa. And as always, thank you for listening and downloading to another episode of the podcast. On today's episode, we have one of my good friends, Mr. Bryant Ricks, joining me to talk about two of his favorite teams, the New Orleans Pelicans and the Houston Rockets. And I want to give you this up front. I'm not going to give you all the details about our conversation, but what I will tell you up front is this. This young man has a bold prediction about one of these two teams that will shock you just like it shocked me. That's all I'll give you for now. You have to wait to hear the conversation. It's enjoyable for both of us. I enjoy having different guests or different podcasters. But ultimately, people that I know that listen to the podcast and reach it and would like to be on and be guests, it's fun. It's enjoyable. I've only been able to do one face-to-face interview or have one guest on that was face-to-face, which is my dad. All the other ones are remote via a recorded phone call. So it's a little bit different face-to-face versus over the phone. But once we get going, you can tell. It's like a regular day, regular conversation of two boys just hanging out and enjoying life. Before we get to the conversation with me and Bryant Ricks, I want to say thank you to all of you that listen. It doesn't matter if this is your first time listening or if you have been listening since episode number one. I want to say thank you. Right now, at this moment, in the small, short duration of the Jay Stephens Podcast, the Jay Stephens Podcast has entered and reached 11 countries in the world, 32 states in the U.S., 154 cities in the United States of America, and in the state of Indiana, which I live, which has 48% of the listeners in the U.S., this Jay Stephens Podcast has reached 24 cities. I want to say thank you to all that. I always talk about word of mouth. I always talk about five-star reviews and leaving comments and leaving great ratings about the podcast, because that's a great way to get the word out about the podcast. Word of mouth is huge. You get a great haircut, you go tell somebody. You find some shoes that you get on sale, you go tell somebody. You get some clothes, you go tell somebody. If you find a church that you really, really like and enjoy all the people there, which is hard because it's hard to find a place where you enjoy every person there, you go tell somebody. So I appreciate all those that continue to listen, continue to tell people, continue to enjoy just the Jay Stephens Podcast to come back week after week after week. Remember when we started, when I first started the podcast, it was one episode a week. And then now we're up to two episodes a week. There are no plans anytime soon to up this thing to three episodes a week. The only thing you may get three times a week is during football season. You may get one episode that is only for picks of the week. It'll be a Saturday edition where college football and NFL football will be picks on a Saturday, but that's it. I know before I did them during football season at the end of the Thursday episode, but that would be the only time right now you're going to get a third episode a week. But twice a week, have had a lot more guests recently than I did when in the beginning of the podcast infancy stages. I just want to say thank you. So many podcasts out there, so many you could choose to listen to, and I am thankful that you have taken time out of your day to listen to the Jay Stephens Podcast. So without further ado, let's go ahead and take a trip to Houston, Texas, to listen to my fun conversation with my friend, Mr. Bryant Ricks. Hey, Bryant, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, Jay, thanks for having me, man.
Yeah, no problem. Zion Williamson didn't start game one like a lot of us would have hoped for him to, but in his early, the young season, his young career that he's played, only played eight games so far. Yeah, I heard he had an ankle injury, missed a game, I think over the weekend against the Pacers, but he's looked good, very good, a lot better than maybe people would think, a lot different than some people would think. What have you observed from Zion Williamson's play so far?
Yeah, I mean, his play is kind of, you know, I mean, what we all saw in the Ball of Life video in high school and then what we saw at Duke. I mean, it's definitely transitioned to the NBA. I don't think that was a question for a lot of people. I think the question was how long he kind of sat out. But for the Pelicans, I mean, that's an investment you have to, you know, that's your future. You don't have Anthony Davis anymore, so you are kind of betting all on this guy. So, I mean, heck, they were – making this guy rewalk himself. So I think the investment's paying off.
Oh, yeah, 100%, 100%. I've been focusing in on his stats more than normal, and he has yet to have a single-digit point outcome just yet. Last game, he scored 21 points, had 4 rebounds. Do you think this trend that he's having has scored double digits in points will continue, or do you think he'll fall off due to injuries, I mean, knee, ankle, whatever it is, or do you think his play will continue to allow him to be a guy that doesn't have to have plays ran for him but can still put the basket and the ball in the hoop?
No, I mean, I think from what we've seen, like, in these 8 games, I mean, the ball goes around Zion. Even though he's missed almost half the season already, you know, the ball goes around him. So him putting up double-digit numbers, I think, will be a night-in, night-out kind of thing. It's just, like you said, staying healthy. I think that's what people are more worried about from him.
Oh, yeah, easily. I'm a person, I don't know if I've talked to you about this or not, but I think he needs to cut, like, 20, 25 pounds. They got him listed at 285. I think if he was around 260, similar weight and height to where LeBron's best at. Of course, two different skill sets, two different types of players. But I think if he shaves, just cuts 20, 25 pounds to get down to 260, we'll be able to see him way better than he's already played. Do you think his weight is currently an issue?
I don't think the weight's an issue. I think this is actually like the opposite of most players. I mean, remember when LeBron came in at this age, everybody was like, well, he's got to put on more weight. He's too skinny. Look at Giannis when he first got in the league. It was skin and bones. Same with KD. Now look at him. It's something I think sports fans kind of take for granted, and I hope, you know, after this kind of we realize how great LeBron is, but we take for granted some of these players, and this kid's only 19 years old, Zion. So we got to understand this. He's still got a lot of maturing himself to do as a person and a basketball player. But, I mean, I think that the whole baby weight, I think, you know, he's with the Pelicans. They're investing in him. I don't see a problem with him losing weight or turning it into muscle. I think he'll get to that weight, and when he gets there, that should be scary. Imagine what he's doing now, and then we're going to put him in that, you know, situation.
Yeah, bro, scary. He is – I saw him in summer league. He looked heavier. It's just, and I normally don't look at weight like that, but summer league, he looked heavier. And then preseason, he looked heavier. And then just seeing him on the sidelines.
Oh, like all that crawfish and boudin. When he's
hey,
down
bro.
There
they eat,
was,
hey,
that,
y'all,
that,
they
that,
eat good down
there, man. Hey, it's always good.
Man, I've had boudin once in my life. I was at my buddy's house. I was living in Arkansas at the time. And I was like, hey, man, his dad came in. They had just got some. I was like, he's like, hey, you got to try this. I'm like, what is it? He's like, I'm not going to tell you what it is. I'm not going to tell you what's in it. He just said, you got to try it. And I took one bite. I finished what was on my plate. I said, hey, man, give me some more. It looked like your boy Zion's been eating all of it up.
He's been eating some beignets, man. He's definitely been there.
Dude, man, his weight, he keeps going up, but you mentioned the stuff we saw in high school. Bro, in high school, when he was Instagram famous, YouTube famous, whatever you want to call it, he was still bigger than everybody else, and he was still bigger, faster, and stronger. Maybe I'm crazy. Maybe it's like my fictitious what I want of Zion to be, but you may be right, bro. Like, his weight, he's still able to get up and down the court. He's still able to not really have plays called for him, but still have an impact on every single game on both ends of the court. So maybe, I mean, the weight may not be what everyone is making it out to be. I'm not sure.
Yeah, and I mean, that first game he had, you could tell that the first 3 quarters, you know, I think everybody thought he was just going to come in and dominate, right? We've seen all the highlight videos. We know what he can do. And I think in his head, he was trying to get his team involved. Like, hey, I'm just a player. You know, I'm trying to set you guys up. But then we saw in that fourth quarter him just take over. Now, they ended up losing the game. I think it was by 2 points. But, you know, we saw that Zion that we want. And I think when everybody saw that, it kind of clicked with him. Hey, this is what I got to do now. But, yeah, man, I mean, he literally walks on air when he jumps. The dude just floats. And, I mean, he defines, I think, all laws of physics. Somewhere Bill Nye is trying to figure out this equation because I can't do it.
Bill Nye, the science guy. He's never going to go out of style.
No, never.
No, bro. Let's forecast the future for a little bit. think about 3, 4, 5 years out, what kind of player do you think Zion will be, oh, let's say 5 years down the road? Do you think he'll still be this explosive guy that can lead a team without having plays ran for him? Or do you think he'll be a leader that is saying, hey, give me the ball when we really need a basket?
I think, and honestly, I mean, again, two different positions, but I'm a compared to like a younger D Wade back with Miami Heat, right? Dwayne Wade could set his own play, didn't really need it. I think, again, we get this guy fully healthy. We see a full season of him. He loses maybe some weight, gets more involved with his team. And that's the thing. It's not just Zion that's young. This whole Pelicans roster is young from top to bottom. I think they're one of the youngest in the league. So they keep everybody on this roster. They get going, build a like team, you know, consistently. I mean, I see this guy just being the, you know, kind of that D Wade LeBron leader where, hey, this is my team, this is what we're doing.
That D Wade, it's an interesting comparison because I remember D Wade when he was younger, he was down there with Shaq. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, cool, you got Shaq here. Shaq's won rings. Shaq's been the guy that we can all focus on to get big baskets or to alter games. But D Wade's there like, hey, I'm here. I'm a little bit different than your average two guard, and it worked. It was like a great, great match. And that was a different comparison. Maybe you had that in your head the whole time, and you kept it to yourself. But that's something I had never put together.
Well, it was never Shaq. It was never Shaq's team on the Heat. It was always D Wade in the Heat. True. And I think that's where this is building. It's always going to be Zion and the Pelicans. Granted, you know, injury. I don't see the Pelicans trading him. I think they've, again, invested way too much. You don't put that kind of money into something and then get rid of it.
No, not at all. Not at all. Stick with the Pelicans. We've been there. You mentioned them a little bit, how young they are. Currently right now, oh gosh, 9, 10. They're in 11th place. I didn't know it was going to drop that far. They're 22-31. 9th place, they're behind the Spurs. And then you have the Trailblazers, and then 1 through 8. I won't have to list all those. I'll list them. It's fine. Lakers at 1, Nuggets at 2, Clippers at 3, Jazz at 4, Rockets at 5, Thunder 6, which was a surprise for a lot of people, Mavericks at 7, and then the Grizzlies at 8. Do you think, tell me how, what crazy formula you may have about how the Pelicans may make the playoffs.
Well, I mean, there's no formula. I don't have it. But, you know, I see them getting in there at the 8th seed. I really think the Thunder are kind of going to fall apart. They had a good run. I mean, but with the whole Zion factor, right? Before, and this is, you know, game since the season started till January 21st, the day before, the record, you know, 17-23. They were 7th in rebounds, 8th in points, 20th. And field goal percentage, I mean, that wasn't a really stout team. Now, since the 23rd to now, January 23rd, since Zion came back, rebounds, they're 2nd in the league, points, they're 4th, field goal percentage, they're 9th, and point differential, which I think is a huge, they're plus or 4.5, and that's 7th in the league. So, I mean, you know, those are, in my eyes, you know, those are what determines a, like, game in your season on those stats. And, you know, when you're top 10 in all of those, that's building towards something. Now, am I saying Zion's going to get them all the way there? Who knows? I'm rooting for the Pelicans, but with both Memphis and New Orleans, as a fan of basketball, I think everybody can appreciate the young teams. It's more like watching a college basketball team, right? You're not necessarily where the Lakers, the Rockets, the Clippers, even Denver's kind of gotten to that point now. Denver used to be like this a few years back where they were young and building, but it's more business. Let's go in, get the job done, let's go home, get a dub. You know, it's really not fun. But now you go watch New Orleans or Memphis, and it's just all fun with those guys. I can actually see, like, a team, you know, just enjoying playing basketball.
I'm thinking down the road, getting the A seed, how do they get there? They have to have a player at some point throughout this season who is going to be their go-to player down the stretch. Hey, I'm going to give you the ball. We're down 3. We need a basket. I don't care if you get a 3 or 2. Just get a bucket. Who on the Pelicans is that guy in your eyes?
Well, it's two guys, honestly. I think we could kind of all seen it, and I don't really think anybody kind of expected it. Lonzo Ball, to me, has kind of just been the most improved. And I think Zion's helped him. Since Zion's been back, they're second in the league in assists, and they're only 0.1 assists or point one assists behind Golden State for the most since Zion's been back. So it's not like they're like 3 or 4 assists behind. It's literally 0.1 assists per game behind number one. And we've seen the lobs. I think Lonzo's kind of stepped up, and I think J.J. Redick, he's kind of their veteran. He's their leader, and I think he's the X factor because in 13 seasons, the dude's never missed the playoffs. So, I mean, right then and there, that kind of tells you the Pelicans are making the playoffs.
Look at you pulling out some crazy numbers, man. I had no idea that was a thing.
Yep, it's a fact. Google it, man. Google's an awesome tool, man.
Oh, man, old J.J. Redick. I remember when he was at Duke, bro. I hated him, literally. I hated watching him play because it don't matter if he was playing the Tar Heels or whoever he was playing, J.J. Redick's on the court. He's going to put a dagger in your eye. And every time. And it was even worse that he played for Duke. I just couldn't stand it.
I got a number 4 Duke jersey waiting for you when you come visit me in Houston.
No, I ain't going to put it on, man. I'm not wearing it. Anything Duke, Blue Devils, anything, not touching it. Now, if you give me some Carolina Blue Tar Heels, I'm all for it. But that Duke stuff, hey, man, throw stuff away.
I got you.
In my head, yeah, I've noticed Lonzo's played better. J.J. Redick, he's Mr. Reliable. But you know, at some point throughout the season, later in the season, you already know Brandon Ingram's going to want to be that guy. He's going to want to be the guy. You give him the ball. Hey, I'm down 3. We got a minute left. We need a bucket. I don't care how you get it. I don't care if it's free throws. I don't care if it's a 3-point shot. I don't care if it's a mid-range 2, which is a lost art. I don't care. Would you trust Brandon Ingram with the ball in crunch time?
Yeah, it's another Dukie right there. I mean, literally, New Orleans is Duke of the South. But, I think he's kind of rebuilt his career as well. Both him and Lonzo coming from L.A., you know, there was a lot of pressure there. And they come over here, I'm not saying there wasn't pressure, but, you know, not as much. Nobody's kind of really expecting New Orleans to have success, right? So it's kind of just go play ball. And Brandon has definitely shown a lot more capability of what he's able to handle in the game situations. Now, I think he's another player, kind of like Zion. Can he stay healthy? You know? I'm loving what I'm seeing from Brandon. He's definitely stepped up in big games. I think he's got, 2 or 3 40-point games this season. He's showing that he can score at will. It's just, you know, my thing is, can you do it in the playoffs?
Yeah, I think him getting out of the shadow of LeBron was huge. Him and Lonzo, I think both of them, they got away from not just a shadow, but also the pressure. Like, you're playing with LeBron James. You're playing in L.A. for the Lakers. Not the Clippers. You're playing for the Lakers. So there's a lot of pressure automatically that comes with that. And them going to New Orleans, young team, you got a vet there. And J.J. Redick, a guy that's been around. He's like you said, he's been in the playoffs every year. So he knows what it takes to get to the next level. And it's a different kind of voice. And this may be a voice that relates and that possibly connects to them with them better than, say, a LeBron or whoever was out there in L.A. I don't know, man. All the players you mentioned, they all have seemed to be better than advertised this year.
Yeah, well, and the one that isn't is Drew Holiday, who has all-star-like numbers again, gets snubbed. But, I mean, that's just his kind of M.O. He always puts up stats, and he's never been that guy. And he's another veteran. Kind of stuck with New Orleans through and through, and now I think it's going to start paying off for him here shortly. But, yeah, I mean, the first part of the season maybe didn't go the way it wanted, but I think it kind of went the way everybody expected, right? They're going to win a few games. Is when is Zion coming back? And then, you know, once he came back, things are starting to flow for him. I think they're starting to see, hey, we can actually do this, right? It's not more like, hey, we're just going out, hopefully we get a win. It's like, no, we can actually compete. They beat L.A. They beat the Pacers the other night without Zion. I mean, mm-hmm. These are playoff contender teams that, you know, they're going in and beating. And the games that they have lost, I think, yeah, they're 5-4. They play Portland tomorrow. But the teams that they have lost, it's not like they've gotten blown out. I know they played the Rockets recently, lost by three. I mean, it's been close games. It's manageable games that just maybe one or two possessions just don't go their way.
Yeah, and I think I know teams are learning that with Zion, you don't have to really technically scheme for him and say, hey, we're going to gear our offense to focus on him specifically. But what you have to do with Zion is know where he is on the court at all times. We've seen him block, jump out the gym to block shots. We've seen him get rebounds where it seems like he's being blocked, boxed out by someone, but he finds a way to get around him. He's one of those guys that will not just be good for himself, but as he gets better and he gets more game under him and he gets up to game speed, J.J. Redick open for shots, Ingram open for shots, Lonzo step back, he's going to get that going down as well. It's going to be crazy what's going to happen once all the pieces kind of come together down the stretch. If they get the A seed, and they're probably going to get the Lakers, do you see them somehow pulling off an upset?
I see them. I'm taking it in six. I really do. I like that matchup. I think Jackson Hayes and Anthony Davis is a very good matchup. Now, I'm going to take AD in that matchup, but Jackson Hayes has really kind of stepped up as well too. But like you were mentioning, just with Zion knowing where he's at, I mean, watch those fast breaks. I mean, that dude's running up and down the court. Yeah, he sat out half a season, so he should be good to go. He's got fresh legs. But, I mean, when they start realizing, okay, when they're getting a fast break, we got to cover Zion, like you said, that's going to open up J.J. Brandon on the wings. I mean, you know, the thing, you always got to keep an eye on that guy. And that's when you start doing that, other people start getting open. So, I mean, I think if they get that 8 seed, yeah, they can take the Lakers. I think the point guard matchup's pretty even. Zion versus Braun, I think everybody wants to see that. And I would give the Pelicans, the shooting guards, you know, a healthy Brandon Ingram and J.J., definitely taking the Pelicans in six.
Bro, I thought you were going to say seven, not six.
Yeah, no, I think, you know, they take two in L.A., and then they'll take one in New Orleans, and then lose one in New Orleans. Braun will win one in L.A. They'll come back to New Orleans and take it in six.
Oh, man. This is like an NCAA March Madness prediction, not NBA playoffs.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's early. We got all-star break. You never know what could happen, but you heard it here first, folks.
This is why we have Bryant Ricks on the podcast for moments just like this. Let's move from New Orleans to Houston. I'm not going to ask you to examine their season, talk about how Russ has played, James Harden, none of that stuff. Y'all got rid of Clint Capella, man. Help me out. What's going on with this?
It was a rough day. You know, Houston fans don't really have much to cheer about lately. You know, the Astros with this whole scandal, the Texans blowing a 24-0 lead. Not necessarily, you know, I'm not a Texans fan, but, you know, Houston fans in general. And now the Rockets getting rid of Clint Capella. I mean, to be honest, this is Mike D'Antoni's wet dream, okay? It's no defense. It's literally no defense. We're literally going to hope we outscore the other team. That the other team does not shoot well, and it worked against L.A., and it proved L.A. did not shoot well. They missed a lot of buckets. I think they out-rebounded them by 24, but still couldn't hit a bucket, and the Rockets won a game. Right, so they're going to rely on James Harden and Westbrook to just make bucket after bucket. It's going to have to be one of them is going to have to score 40 points every game. I don't know. I get the concept of okay, let's pull the big man out and make him guard five out, and, you know, speed kills. But in the regular season, that can work all day. In a 7-game series, I don't see it working. At all.
I don't understand how the thought process through D'Antoni's mind, how he would say, oh, we're going to move P.J. Tucker to the five. He's 6'5". And Robert Covington, okay, cool, let him play the four. P.J. Tucker is 6'5", and even then for a power forward, a four spot, It doesn't make sense then. So now you're putting a 6'5" guy at center. The Lakers have bigs. If the season ended right now, he's going up against Rudy Gobert in the playoffs. I hate those type of scenarios because it doesn't end now, but it just gives you the kind of thing like, hey, what, you're not going to be able, you're giving yourself a disadvantage right up front at that position where, yeah, he can stretch the floor out a little bit, hit that corner three, but that's about it. He ain't getting no rebounds. He's not going to be blocking many shots. He's not really going to be a rim protector. Bro, it makes no sense.
It doesn't. And again, I didn't mind, you know, when the Rockets got Robert Covington. I think he's a very good defender. He can hit threes. He's clutch. I wasn't mad about that. Where I got frustrated was we were supposed to get a center from the Eastern. Well, then it come to find out it's Tristan Thompson who's getting dunked on by the Kardashians, man. Come on. Tristan Thompson? Come on. I was like, that's who we went after? No. Unless we have somebody in our little G League or whatever, you know, developmental league that we're hiding and nobody knows about, I don't see this, why this made sense, besides to clear up cap space. But I don't, you know, again, it doesn't make sense because we just paid Capella all that money. We just signed him to a 5-year deal. So, yeah, normally Daryl Morey makes very good decisions and trades and, you know, sign-ons, but this questionable, highly questionable.
Yeah, when they mentioned it was an Eastern Conference player, I assumed it could possibly be Miles Turner. Pacers fans, people around here locally, he's always gotten a bad rap. He's not physical enough. He's too soft. He shoots threes, which honestly, if you want a big man that shoots threes that's not very physical, Miles Turner fits that very well. He's a rim protector. He actually has a decent jump shot. But when it comes to being big and physical and being more of a guy that can bang a little bit, he's not that. But D'Antoni doesn't want to bang. So that was my first thought was, get Miles Turner up out the paint here in Indy, ship him down to Houston. They get what they want down there. We can possibly get a Clint Capella, who I don't know. I honestly didn't think that. But then more Tristan Thompson. Okay, cool. He hasn't really played well over the past couple years. His play has gone down since LeBron left. It's a Kardashian effect as well. That's 100% true. But, bro, man, it's almost like D'Antoni is basically saying, hey, my stay here in the NBA is almost over. Here's a move we're going to make to basically throw in the season, throw in my career. Doesn't make any sense to me at all.
I agree. I don't know if he's out the door and he's just trying to take, you know, everything with him, but it just doesn't make sense. And again, when Clint was with the Rockets, it's not like, you know, they were dumping it down into the paint every single time. It's not like a Joel Embiid or an Anthony Davis situation, right? It's, you know, Clint would just kind of pick and roll, very good pick and roller, and it was a lob up top. You know, there wasn't really much in the paint action offensively. Now, defensively, yeah, he could guard both of those guys, AD and Joel Embiid. But he wasn't, you know, necessarily the best, like, in the paint post up, let's score a bucket kind of guy, you know?
No. And honestly, one thing I've noticed with James Harden, their chemistry was unmatched. It was nothing you could describe. Just those two together on the offensive end right now. You couldn't describe the chemistry. It was almost like they were thinking the same thing throughout the entire game, running the floor. James Harden breaks somebody down. Capella found his way to get to the hoop either for a layup or whatever it was. And D'Antoni's system, a lot of people don't like it. They don't. But this is almost like, and I know he doesn't make the moves, make all the transactions, but this sure had his imprint on it the entire time. And what was the most alarming thing to me was him agreeing with and explaining the move. I'm like, you don't have to agree with the move at all. You can just be honest and say, yeah, I wish we had Clint here. We're really going to miss Clint and talk about Clint's impact on your team. No, you're basically saying I'm here. I'm behind my boss. I'm behind the move. And in my mind, maybe in yours too, I'm thinking you don't believe that. There's no way you believe what you're saying.
It's like catching, like, somebody in a lie, right? And then they try to, like, lie on top of them catching a lie. Like, okay, yeah, I know you caught me, but here's why I did it. Yeah. And like you said, that had D'Antoni, like, marked all over it. Again, that wasn't a Daryl Morey accusation that he normally does. But, yeah, I think they were trying to plan something and hope for something in return, and it backfired in their face.
Ooh, backfired big time, bro. Backfired big time. Before we get out of here, I got 9 quick questions I want to have you answer. It's kind of some way to have fun before we end this conversation. You ready for them? It's first one's football, but then the rest are going to be fun. number one, will Drew Brees win a Super Bowl with the Saints before he retires? Of course, before he retires.
Well, so I mean, the thing is, if he comes back, I mean, he's not going anywhere, right? He came out and said it's either New Orleans or nothing. So as a Saints fan, you know, it's good news. We're not in the Tom Brady, well, is he coming back? Is he going somewhere else? Is he retiring? It's either is he coming back or not. I think the question is going to be for the Saints now, because God forbid, you know, playoffs are not our friend. You know, what can he do in the playoffs? In the regular season, he puts up these monster numbers. He breaks these records. But we get to the playoffs, some the Saints' fault, some not. This year, completely their fault. It was a terrible game against Minnesota. But, you know, I think if the team, they get AK coming back, they sign Marshawn Lattimore. The real problem is signing that draft class from 3 years ago. Alvin Kamara, Ryan Ramczyk on the offensive tackle, Marshawn Lattimore, Alex Alonzo at linebacker. I mean, they got 4 or 5 guys that they're going to have to pay big bucks. And so if Brees can come back, you know, take maybe a pay cut, help get those guys back, I can see them. You know, they're a top 5 team. But it's always tough, man. You never know how the playoffs are going to shake up. I would love for him to win one more Super Bowl, finish out on top. But easier said than done, man. Every player wants that.
Yeah, I forgot to say this before. Make these. Give me your first thought when you hear the question. I didn't try to breeze through these. That's my fault. Favorite NBA player.
Right now, or all time?
Both.
James Harden, pure scorer, all time. Steve Nash.
Okay. A game you went to that you'll never forget.
Tracy McGrady scoring 13 in 9 seconds.
Wait, you were there?
Yeah, against the Spurs.
Of course, you happen to go to what's that?
No, that was that a bad game, yeah. It was that was a crazy game.
Place you want to go, but you have never been.
Bora Bora.
I think you're the second person to say that, honestly, on the podcast.
Look at the, like, island. It's beautiful.
What's your favorite vacation spot?
Oh, anywhere with a beach, honestly, man.
Pick a place.
Cozumel.
Okay. If you could have a job in sports, what sport would it be, and then what would you be doing in that sport?
NFL quarterback.
Okay. Of course, I should have known that after all the talks we had at work.
Oh, you being quarterback in high school.
Come on, man.
Okay. I add another one to this. What quarterback would you play like?
Ooh. I would say like a Johnny Manziel.
Wow.
On the field. Let's keep all the off the field stuff.
I sure hope it's Johnny Manziel from Texas A&M. Like that Johnny Manziel.
Yeah. I mean, what would you like? I can't compare Patrick Mahomes with Johnny Manziel. Two different people.
Completely different.
I gotta look at my receivers. I can't look at the sideline for the cheerleaders and then throw a pass.
No comment to that.
A
game you'd love to attend postseason, in the postseason.
Oh, like any sport?
Any sport.
Ooh. Probably FIFA World Cup championship game.
Different, going a little off the grid, you may want to say.
Yeah, a little international. I mean, like, because, you know, I've been to a bunch of basketball games, been to a bunch of baseball, football. I think, you know, a World Cup, get a little culture. in me.
I like it, man. Will Mike, now this does not have to be with the Rockets right now, but do you think Mike D'Antoni will ever win an NBA championship?
No. Absolutely not. That's probably the fastest answer out of all of them. No, absolutely not. He will not win. Not with this system.
Yeah, it's weird that even with Steve Nash, he hasn't changed the system. He changed it a little bit, but he hasn't really changed it to aid him to win postseason wise. He's gotten close. He's gotten very close, but I don't think he's ever been to the NBA Finals. So he's gotten close, but he hasn't made the tweaks needed to get him over that hump.
Yeah, I mean, with the whole Game 7 against the Golden State when Chris Paul got hurt, I mean, I think that was his best chance. That, you know, that it was either that or nothing. So I think he's just going to go down as one of those coaches that could just never get to the game.
Yeah. Last one, he just left us unexpectedly. Give me a Kobe Bryant memory.
Oh, man. Really, honestly, I had a love-hate relationship with Kobe just because of the Rockets, and just any time in the playoffs against Kobe, just watching him is just – you watch what he would do in, like, clutch moments, and you just take it in, like, in awe. But, yeah, just – honestly, Kobe in the playoffs, it's just the Mamba mentality just kicked in, and you just could see this whole – that and the Harrison Barnes moment, not flinching, that's a pretty big moment.
Yeah, it is, man. Hey, bro, it was good talking to you again. Good having you on the podcast. We'll have to do this again down the road, man. I really appreciate you taking some time out to talk it up with me one more time.
Yeah, man, I appreciate it. Anytime you have me, I'm always available. Whenever you're ready, come visit me in Houston. Always got a spot for you.
I got you, man. I appreciate that. I'll take you up on the offer one day.
All righty, brother. Take it easy.
And that's all she wrote. Once again, I want to thank Brian for coming on the podcast and joining me. And if you're anything like me, when Brian came out and said he had the Pelicans in six, first, the Pelicans have to find a way to get to the playoffs. He said, oh, they're going to find a way to make the eighth seed. Okay, cool. Let's say that happens in your mystery mind. And they're playing the Lakers. Oh, they're going to be taken down by the Lakers, right? No, wrong. He says, no, they're going to make the eighth seed, and then they're going to beat the Lakers. The New Orleans Pelicans are going to beat the Los Angeles Lakers in six. I thought he was crazy. You probably thought he's crazy, too. You're probably going to be focused more on the Pelicans, a lot on the Lakers, a lot more than you already are going to be focused on the Lakers, to see if this matchup actually happens and if his prediction is actually true. Bryant's no Skip Bayless. He's not a guy that's going to come out here and say, oh, X, Y, and Z, and have all these crazy ideas, crazy beliefs about sports. No, that's not Bryant. But every now and then, just like you and I, he has these predictions. Of predictions that seem a little crazy, a little far-fetched. And you don't want to believe it when you say it to someone else, they don't want to believe you. And then if someone says it to you, you don't want to believe them. But you're watching closely just to see when they will be wrong. And I'm going to be watching the Pelicans a lot closer than normal. Zion already had my attention, and the young talent there kind of had me focus on them just a little bit, just a tad more than normal. But now, because Bryant made this prediction, Bryant, Ricks, and the Pelicans have my full attention because I want to make sure I want him to be wrong. Now, granted, I want the Pelicans to do well. I would love for them to take down the Lakers. I have a problem with that. It'd be a great, compelling first round of the NBA playoffs, and a lot of times, that's not the case. But, oh, it's my buddy Bryant. I love talking trash. You love talking trash. So if I can talk trash to him and prove him wrong, hey, I'm here for that. Also, if you have not watched the XFL, week two is this weekend, and I think it's a great thing for you. It's a good thing for you to do this weekend, Saturday and or Sunday, to watch this league. This is nothing like the league that came out in the early 2000s. Nothing like it. Not at all. Nowhere close. Now, this is different football than the NFL. Some of the rules are different. There's a one, a two, a three-point play, a variation or an alteration to the kickoff. Those are the only two things I want to tell you. If you haven't watched it yet, these are the matchups for this weekend. And I think you owe it to yourself to watch a new brand of football that's very enjoyable to watch. The New York Guardians versus the DC Defenders, the Tampa Bay Vipers versus the Seattle Dragons, and I definitely... I'm going to say this as well. Seattle deserves a basketball team. I know the Supersonics left. That area up there, great fans. Great fans for basketball. I hope the NBA gives them a team here pretty soon, or very soon. But very soon, because I think that's something that that's very enjoyable, and the NBA would be better for it. The matchups on Sunday: the Dallas Renegade, the LA Wildcats, the St. Louis Battlehawks, and then my favorite name of a team, the Houston Roughnecks. Get out there, enjoy it. Watch the XFL this weekend, Saturday and or Sunday. You will enjoy it. I would not be saying this if I didn't think it would be something that would be worthwhile to watch on Saturday and or Sunday, when there are other things to do, other things to watch on television. Thank you for listening to another episode of the JT Jones Podcast. As always, you can follow me on Twitter at Dr_J25. Once again, that is at Dr_JAY, the number 2 and the number 5. Remember to always subscribe, rate, and review. It's a great way for people that are searching for new podcasts to listen to come across this one. Then remember to always get the word out about the podcast via word of mouth. The things that we enjoy in life, we are more willing and somewhat wired to tell other people about. So no matter if this was your first episode or if you have been listening since episode 1, be sure to let people know about the podcast. This has been episode 66 of the JT Jones Podcast. I'll see you next time.